As a pastor, one of the most frequently asked questions of me was, "What is God's will for my life?" In another form, that question posed itself as, "Pastor, I just wish that God would speak to me clearly, that he would give me a sign. Does he still do those sorts of things?" I always took those questions and statements in a like spirit to the people of this text. "Sir, we would see Jesus." Sometimes students come to the seminary in an effort to see Jesus, perhaps find him. They may have an inclination towards the ministry, but aren't quite sure if it is really for them. What they seem to be longing for is a voice from heaven saying, "Be a pastor, be a deaconess." Or perhaps their spouse is hoping for a voice to say, "Don't be a pastor. Go back home. Take up your lucrative business." It sure would be nice for God to do something like he does in this text and speak in an audible and clear voice. We human beings are tangible people, and we prefer when things are clear and certain. We like sights and sounds, images and words that don't confuse us, but rather enlighten us and give us certainty. But sometimes the words of Jesus are too pointed and too direct. We'd rather he not tell us certain things. The people in this text found themselves in such a position. Certainly by this time in his ministry, Jesus' reputation had spread to the point where people were seeking him out. Maybe they'd heard of the triumphal entry, something recounted immediately prior to this text. Coming from Galilee, it's possible that some had heard reports of a local boy now having a big impact in the city. Perhaps even some had known him or seen him at some point. Whatever the case may be, they sought him. And what was it that they hoped to see? A prophet? A madman? The true Messiah? One has to wonder if they knew that they were putting themselves at risk by seeking Jesus. Already the chief priests were plotting Jesus' death and the death of those around him. Earlier in John 12, we hear that when a large crowd of Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well, because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. Seeking Jesus is serious stuff. But they were willing to take that risk, known or unknown, in order to see Jesus, in order to see the one. But who was this one in their minds? A Messiah who would take away all their problems, drive out the Romans, restore the temple, establish a new kingdom that would restore and extend the Davidic and Solomonic reigns? Variously, a bread king and maker of ease, the glory they expected for their Messiah was decidedly inclined to meet their felt needs. To these seekers, Jesus gave glory a new meaning and redefined messiahship: death and cross. As usual, the disciples didn't get it then, though they did later, not unlike us. Death on a cross is by no means the way that we or anyone else wants to die, nor did it make any sense to the people who wanted to see Jesus at that time. They wanted their signs and prophecies, but did not want the sight of Jesus being raised up in the most humiliating of executions, and the voice of God saying that this ignominious death was indeed his glory. No, indeed. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" "Messiahs rule," they said. They don't get shamefully executed. In other words, they said, Jesus, you're wrong. They wanted to see and hear Jesus, but they didn't want to hear this hard word or see his violent death. And yet, as John makes so beautifully clear, this is the whole point of Christ. This is Messiahship. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Again, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then the voice came from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. This is the moment. This is the point. These are the realities that define the Messiah and, in fact, show us the very nature of God. God's glory revealed in service and his power made perfect in the weakness of the cross. And so we keep Holy Cross Day. Originally called the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross, it has also been called the Triumph of the Cross. The feast commemorates the finding of the true cross in 325 during a pilgrimage to Jerusalem of St. Helena, the mother of the Roman Emperor Constantine. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre was then built at the site of the discovery by order of Helena and Constantine. In that church, the true cross resided, as they believe. The date we keep then marks the setting aside of that particular church. Whether the true cross was in there or not is not the point. It seems to me sometimes we spend more time debunking the story and driving people away from the cross than appreciating what they were saying and doing, venerating the cross upon which our Lord gave up his life to take away all human sin. We still say, Sir, we would see Jesus. Indeed, you students have come to this seminary to see Jesus, and then you called into the ministry will go forth to help others see Jesus, returning the faithful and bringing the seekers to the water of baptism, where they are joined to the death and resurrection of Jesus, where his glory becomes theirs, where the cross is overlaid on their life, just as it was on yours. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Difficult for us, but the promise of Christ is sure. And where I am, there my servant will also be. Sir, we would see Jesus, we cry. I say to you, he responds, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The Son of Man was lifted up for the world's sins. The seed of his body was planted, and it broke forth into new life and abundant fruit. That fruit is here in our midst, and his holy cross shapes our lives of service as we follow him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.